Folks, hello and welcome to Tavern Chat. I am your host, Eric Tenkor, your bartender in the OSR, your main proprietor at the Tenkor's Tavern blog. So, today we go back and we delve into more Arduin. Now, the article I'm looking at now, it's a short article. It's all of two paragraphs, right? Space creatures and other aliens in fantasy role-playing games. And I'm going to tell you the truth right now. I think the sweet spot to second paragraph, but they're both important, so I'm going to read them both. With commentary, as you have learned. Some purists do not like to introduce any character types or monsters into their game world unless they have a medieval or Tolkienian flavor or base. Now, that's true. Excuse me. And I've certainly been in campaigns where if you stray off that path, as a DM, your players kind of push back. So, yeah, there's a certain expectation. So I'm going to tell you right now, if you plan on, if you're not sure how your players are going to react, you plan on perhaps going off the reservation a bit and going into the world and expanding the horizons of what they may encounter, be it sci-fi or horror. You know, if you bring in Cthulhu mythos stuff, you may want to give your players not necessarily a heads up per se, but a little warning as the campaign kicks off that it may not just be your standard fantasy setting. It may be a little bit darker. It may have a little bit more sci-fi. It may go a little sword and planet to it. You know, because that way somebody has an issue with that, you find out early on and they can bow out if needed. So, in any case, this really limits their play possibilities as far as I am concerned. This is Dave speaking, not Tenkor, but he's right. It does limit play possibilities. For what better worlds to accept aliens than ones that already have a myriad of other strange and weird creatures as residents? Sure, it would be hard for a town like Peoria or Indianapolis to accept strange alien creatures, but maybe not New York City. I think New York City might fit in, especially the village. But would it be so hard for people that probably have elves, dwarves, hobbits, and the like living down the street from them? I think not. For what is stranger, the alien with the blaster or the multi-tinted dragon that breathes fire? Think about it. And I think you'll find that logic supports the use of aliens in fantasy games. And that playability supports their inclusion as well. They are fun, challenging, and very novel as characters and as monsters. Now, here's that little twist there. As characters and as monsters. This is, again, back when the idea of, oh, you want to play a centaur. All right. Remember, Rogues Gallery, right? Remember that? PC that was reincarnated as a centaur. All right? I think in the early white box or basic D&D, where you talk about playing a dragon, there's no rules given for it, right? But it's talked about. So you know your players back then were talking about it. I can still visualize the pair of vegan space travelers. Now, it has a totally different meaning today, doesn't it? They're vegans! Does that mean they're from the planet Vega? No, it's something about not eating meat. Space Travel was trying to figure out how a Wanda Fireball works after they had traded their stunner for it. They ran every test imaginable, and their computer kept telling them, this item does not compute. Still, it worked when that funny-looking guy in the purple robes sold it to them. You get the point. Now, we're at the second paragraph. This is where I think it becomes a little bit more interesting, something that we all need to, I think, dwell on, but we'll see. But let me say one final thing on a subject, and we'll go on to other things. The very essence of fantasy gaming is this total lack of limitations on the scope of play, both in its content and in its appeal to people of all ages, races, occupations, or whatever. I'm gonna take a step back and I'm gonna reread that. The very essence of fantasy gaming is its total lack of limitation on the scope of play, both in its content and in its appeal to people of all ages, races, occupations, or whatever. I think that's very appropriate for us to look at in today's day and age. All right, because there's a push to carve out, like, oh, we got to carve out a space for X, or carve out a space for players that are Y in nature. And Dave, back in the late 70s, is telling us that the appeal of gaming is to all ages, races, occupations, or whatever. There's no limitations. All right? He's against gatekeeping. He's really saying, well, I don't care what your belief system is. I don't care what your color is, your height, your weight, your gender. Makes no difference. Are we all gamers? Yes, we're all gamers. That's the commonality. So don't limit the game by excluding aliens for any other type of character or monster. If they don't fit what you feel is what the game is all about, don't just say no. Whittle on them a bit until they do fit. That's an interesting way too, right? All right, well, we have no room in our game for, I don't know, Vargish, some science fiction race I just made up out of my ass. Well, maybe they can be a variation of elves. Whittle them down to make them fit, right? Maybe you have a fully fleshed out world that doesn't have this. Well, or maybe you have a world that has a planescape or a spelljammer like way for other worlds to interact with it. Then you're going to have aliens in a strange new fantasy world, and that can work. But again, my take from this paragraph is the prior sentence. The very essence of fantasy gaming is its total lack of limitation on the scope of play, both in the content and in its appeal to all people. It's only gotten more popular in a decade since. All right? So when it comes to people, players in your games, in your campaigns, and at conventions or whatever, see them as players. See them as gamers. Everything else should fall away, right? Again, the commonality. He's talking about the commonality. I'm really surprised as I start reading through bits and pieces of Arduin, that Dave was a bit of a visionary, or at least in today's context. Maybe in the context of the 70s and 80s, it was a bit of a crackpot. But today I can definitely see that he was, my opinion. Yours can differ. I'd love to hear your opinion. You can leave a comment below, and if you've liked this video, of course, give it a like, subscribe, all that wonderful stuff. Because I will continue covering Arduin and other stuff. Right now, I've got Arduin on my mind, but hold on. I'm sorry, I've got to reach over and show something I'll be covering later. It doesn't show up too well on this camera, does it? There we go. For those that are wondering, this is Dave Arnson's The First Fantasy Campaign. And I'm going to be giving this a similar treatment to Arduin because it's a piece of history, right? But it may give us a bit more. It may also be a bit insightful, maybe to our own time of gaming. So, in any case, folks, as always, we are in the midst of the world of the pandemic. What does that mean? It means a huge common sense. I happen to be vaccinated. I have comorbidities coming out my ass. You know your health situation better than anybody, except maybe you medical professionals. So talk to them and get guidance that is tailored toward you and your needs. All right? Be safe. Be well. God bless. Roll those dice. And God willing, I will be back again tomorrow with Glenn Hellstrom. Dungeons, Dragons, and Discourse. Live stream tomorrow, 8 p.m. All right, folks. On that note, I'm out of here.